If you were ever to, let me state it this way. There are perhaps thousands of people around the world who have said they would like to scale Mount Everest. But there's only an elite few that ever really make it. And part of the reason is because it's an intricate, detailed, intense vetting process that you have to go through in order to even get on the list. And then so I've read a couple of books on people who have done that. And in that process, then even after they get you to the base camp, the trail guides and the sponsors will be very, very clear, very adamant in explaining how hard this is going to be and giving you another chance to back away. Not only that, in order to get there, you've already spent thousands of dollars just to get to that point. You haven't done anything. And then they'll take you up to a higher base camp where you have to camp for a while because you have to adjust to the altitude that's there. And at that camp, they will give you the same speech. This is going to be hard. They're going to explain what's going to happen. If you don't want to go, now's the time to back away. Because what's coming is something that no human being should ever choose voluntarily to submit themselves to. And people die up there. People that are skilled die up there. And I think that's kind of where Jesus is at with the scripture that we're going to look at today. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And if you don't have a Bible, there are some scattered among the chairs there. In Matthew chapter 7, the context in which Jesus is speaking, in which everything happens, is this context of a spiritual war between the forces of the devil and the demons of hell and God himself. When Jesus came into this world at what we celebrate as Christmas, he came as an invasion. It was an invasion of the forces of heaven, God becoming man and coming into this dark world. And so the context in which we live, Jesus said the ruler of this world several different times, the devil, because he rules in the hearts of people through sin. And so the context in which we are reading is this spiritual war. And the depth of the choice that he's going to propose in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, is with that intensity of a spiritual warfare. And it's a war for the hearts and the souls of people. And he's very intense about it. Well, let me read it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The familiarity often gets in the way because we are familiar with the narrow gate and the wide. You know, we hear those words even in secular ways. But what Jesus is giving us here is a deep, strong choice, a choice that determines everything. As I've been studying this, as I've been praying, the heaviness of these two verses have gotten to me, because what Jesus is telling us here is there are people who believe that they are following Christ, who believe that they had entered into a relationship with Christ and are in relationship with Christ, have actually never entered in that gate. And there's an importance and an intensity in this because it's about eternity. So bear with me as I try to communicate this. So let's talk about these two verses, getting clear on what following Jesus is really all about. So we've come through the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' manifesto, and we've come through all the stuff that he's been teaching, and he comes to the end of it, and this is the first of four couplets of choices that he's saying that every person is going to have to make. And he says, we need to be clear on what it means to follow Jesus. So the first thing we see is Jesus' command. His command is to choose to enter through the narrow gate. So Matthew 7, the first part of 13, he says, enter by the narrow gate, enter by the narrow gate. And so from the beginning, if you remember way back, Jesus comes on the scene saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn around. Turn completely around in order to join me in the kingdom of God. And so he says, enter the narrow gate. The gate he's talking about here is the choice to follow Jesus. It's the first step to follow Jesus. Enter by the narrow gate. It's the command. And he identifies it as a hard, hard choice. And then the narrow in English doesn't do the original language service oftentimes. So when he talks about narrow here and then in the accompanying Gospel of Luke, he makes some of the same kind of statements where he says, strive to enter the narrow gate. So in the original language, what he's describing here is an entrance just barely wide enough to make it through. Just, it's like two walls. If you've ever been caving, it's that space in those caves where the walls come so close together that you could just barely, barely make it through. And so he says, enter through the narrow gate. But also in the original language, there's this sense of it not being an obvious choice. That the obvious choice is to go through a wide gate. It's not easily seen, easily identified. It's kind of like, some of those British movies where the kids are playing in the back garden and they don't even know that there's a gate there, and suddenly one of the kids falls against the, and they suddenly go into Never Never Land it's kind of like Chronicles of Narnia and the wardrobe. The wardrobe looks like a wardrobe. It doesn't look like a door. And the child goes in there to hide. They're playing hide and seek and suddenly goes into a snow-covered reality. It's not an obvious place to go through. When we first started New Song, one of the things that we did with first-time visitors, if you're a first-time, forget it, this, you're not getting this. But we used to deliver cookies. We used to deliver homemade cookies to people. If you delivered that to somebody now, they would call the police on you, right? But we used to deliver homemade cookies. And so it was the first week, and there weren't many of us. And so I'm delivering cookies all week long, and I've got this street map. It's a whole spiral notebook of streets in Allegheny County. And I'm looking at it, and so I find South Park, and I'm looking for Helen Street. And I find Helen Street. So I go down there and I get on Helen Street. And the number, what was the number? 6327. So I find like in the 400s or, 4,000s. And then I get to the, and it stops. And I go, well, so I turn around. I go, maybe I missed it or something. So I go back around Helen Street and nothing. And I go back. I'd spent a half an hour. It's on the map. But every time I get to, it just stops. So finally, I call Shannon's mom. I go, I tried to deliver cookies to you, but I can't get there from here. Oh, yeah, that's right. They, somewhere in history, they cut out part of the street. Sleepy Hollow Road. Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Same thing. It's not easy to get where you need to go, right? And it's kind of that way with Jesus. He's saying the narrow gate is not obvious. And yet in our culture, we think it is. In fact, for, I don't know if it still is, but for a long time, if you weren't something else deliberately, if you hadn't chosen another religion or you didn't grow up, you know, in another, you were just automatically Christian, right? It was the default. Not even close to true. Jesus says, this gate is not obvious. You have to deliberately look for it and choose it. Some people say, well, you know, there are many paths to God. You just need to take one of them. As if there's a whole lot of gates. Just choose any one that you prefer. And so I have a confession to make, because I have been convicted, because some, it not probably not in the past 5 or 7 years, but prior to that, when I would talk to someone about becoming a Christian, I would make statements like this. It's really easy. All you have to do is just to pray this prayer, and you will become a Christian. And I've had to repent of that, because it's not true. The gate to following Jesus is not, oh, just pray this simple prayer. The gate to following Jesus is to repent of everything else and to choose Him above everything else. The truth of the Bible is clear. To follow Jesus requires finding that entry point by letting go of everything else. So Jesus, the first thing Jesus says is He commands us, He entreats us. He with some intensity says, find the door, find the narrow gate, and choose it. The second thing we see is the common choice. Jesus describes the choice that most people make, and that is the wide and easy way or path or road. Matthew chapter 7, the second part of verse 13. So He says, He's entreating them after all of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, now I want you to choose Me. Choose Me. I am the door. Choose Me. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. He says, the other choice, the choice that most people will take is the wide path, wide way and easy. It's really the kind of the principle of least resistance. Right? The principle of least resistance. Let me see your hand if you have ever had a water problem at your house. It's the worst, right? Because if you don't fix it right, water will find the smallest place and it, a word of testimony, will flood your bathroom. It's the path of least resistance. And so a lot of, you know, if you get into the rural parts of Pennsylvania and you get on these roads and they're just these windy, you know why? It's because animals understand the path of least resistance. And then the pioneers built their roads on the paths of animals. And that's why we have a lot of the roads that we have. So next time you're on some road that you wonder who in their right mind would have done it, it was a deer. The path of least resistance. It's why a toddler will see at the bottom of the hill something that they want, and they will head right down when there's a path that winds around to get safely to the bottom. Why? Because the natural path is just go. And that's what Jesus is describing. So He says it's wide, which means it's easily entered. Even by default, you just kind of go there. The entrance is obvious. It's broad. The entrance ramp to a 4 or 6 lane highway is well marked, isn't it? And it's easy. But the narrow one, you can hardly find. So He says it's wide. It's also easy, He says. Easily traveled. because this path is, and now he's talking about whether following Christ or not following Christ. So the not following Christ is easy because you just do whatever you want to. You know, it was the wide path is if it feels good, do it. You know, you just do whatever you want to do. And self-indulgent, it's pleasing, it's appealing, it's pretty safe. There aren't a whole lot of dangers there. Now, some people may object and say, well, maybe, wait a minute, Herb, the path of sin is not easy. It is when you start it, right? The devil's like a drug dealer. Come here, I'll give you this free. There's no cost to it. You enjoy it. It'll make you feel good. No obligations, you know. They don't tell you the consequences, right? That if you take this, you're going to get addicted and your life is going to come unglued. You see, it feels safe. It feels easy. It's because there's not a lot of resistance. The natural inclination. You know, nobody's telling you, oh, don't do that because it'll hurt somebody. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. And then he says, but the destination is destruction. It's easy on the front end. You can travel it. You can, but on the end, on the other side, is destruction. The way to death is open, broad, and well-traveled. And it destruction in eternity for sure, but it doesn't take long for people to discover that not following Christ is the most painful way to go. They may not admit it. And then he says, many, and those who enter it are many. This is the path of the majority. This is the path that most people will travel. Now, here's the hard part, is that every one of us have family or friends who are on the wide path and think they're headed to heaven. That's why this is such an eternally important issue. It's a wide road. You know, it appeals to our selfish nature. Number three. The uncommon choice is the narrow and hard. Narrow and hard. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Last week, we recognized that the golden rule and the great commandments. So golden rule, love, the great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, the great commandments. The golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We saw last week that what Jesus is referring to in the narrow gate and the hard way is living the golden rule and the great commandments. That's the essence of what he's talking about. So the narrow meaning it's a difficult entrance. It's a difficult entrance. It's not obvious. So we go back to those caves. If you've ever been in caves and you had to try to pass through. So back in 1977, I was in college. I was after my sophomore year, and I went. I was a part of a singing group for the summer that went all over the country singing in Church of God congregations, promoting the college. And we traveled through Carlsbad, New Mexico. Anybody been to Carlsbad Caverns? Yes. Carlsbad, it was one of the most wonderful memories of that whole summer. We took a day off, we went into these Carlsbad, and you walk in and it's just gorgeous, stalactites, stalagmites, this gorgeous, gorgeous place. But if you read the information or you listen to some of the guides, they will tell you some people have gotten off the trail, the accepted place to travel in those, and they'll get back into those rocks, and every once in a while, you'll hear about emergency responders who have to go in there and wedge someone out from between rocks where they got stuck. What Jesus is describing is a narrow way that is just like that. It's so narrow that you can barely get through, and it creates difficulties and anxiety as you pass through. So he's saying that the gate to get to him is so narrow that you can only get through by letting go of everything else. That's repentance, turning to him. So one of the commentators said, if you're swelled with pride, you can't make it through that passage. If you're holding on to luxury items, so if you can't make it through that passage, you got to let that go. If you are trying to hold on to people and, no, we're going to travel arm in arm together. No, you can't do it because it's single file. If you are holding on to pleasures that you go, oh, I can't give this up for Jesus, you can't make it through the passage. Because you can only get through the gate, Jesus says, this narrow gate, by letting go of everything else. Stripping down extra coats until all you have is just one layer of clothes and yourself to get through there. The narrow, difficult entrance that is not obvious. He also said it's hard, for the gate is narrow, and then the way or the path is hard that leads to life. It's difficult travel to follow Jesus because it's completely right side up of this upside down world. If you look at Jesus' demands, he didn't come. So here's where the wise men got into trouble. They saw the star, they recognized it, God gave them the ability to understand it. They left from far, far away, they traveled, they kept following the star, kept traveling. But as they got close to Israel, they just started thinking for themselves. Well, where would a king be born? Well, everybody knows, in a palace, right? And so where did they go? They went to the palace, but he wasn't there. And then they created all kinds of havoc because they took their eyes off the star. Jesus came upside down. So he says it's a difficult way. And he said, and we'll look at it more. So it's a difficult way to travel. Have you ever followed your GPS and regretted it? Last May, we went down to the Outer Banks, and on our way, we decided to go through Virginia and see some old friends. And I just plugged in the GPS, and I discovered that the GPS, if it can save you 15 seconds, according to its perception, it will take you on cow paths. And we got into Virginia, and it was dusk, and we couldn't hardly see anything. And I'm telling you, I had to slow down to 15 miles an hour because I was going down, and it would make this hairpin turn and go around this way and go around this way. She, like, gets motion sickness on elevators. So I got a wife that's about to throw up, and I don't know where I am. That's the kind of road Jesus is talking about. It's difficult. Have you ever been on these mountain roads where you look over and you go, if I get off to the berm of the road, I'm dead. That's the difficult road. Jesus is talking about a path and there's no map. Except for Jesus. Amen. See, here's the picture. It's individuals traveling single file, roped together with Jesus as the lead. I heard a story one time about, I think it was out west when they were settling in the west. And a group of people had a Native American as their guide. And they said, well, where's the map? And he looked at him and said, there's no map. He goes, well, how are we going to know? And he responded, I am your map. And that's Jesus. That's the way. We've got guidelines through the Word of God, but it's the Spirit of God that guides us into following this path. And so it's a hard path of self-denial, of pursuing Christ with all that we've got, and it and goes against our natural tendency. And so we see some of those teachings later as Jesus goes through his ministry. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, he describes it. So he says, choose the narrow gate and the hard way, because that's the way that leads to life. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, says, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny himself. Say no to yourself. Turn around, 180 degrees, repent, right side up, and take up your cross, those things that you will suffer as your responsibility, and follow me. Whoever would save his life would lose it. That's the wide path. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's the narrow path that leads to life. For what does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. Remember I said the path, the gate and the path is the golden rule and the great commandments. Love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. You think of people who call themselves Christians in this world, who are treating people horribly, who are not loving others, who are not doing what's best for other people, who are abusing or using or stepping on or being selfish, doing what they want to do, and calling themselves Christians. And Jesus says, you can't love God unless you're fulfilling the great commandments and the golden rule. That's a narrow path, isn't it? Amen. And it doesn't matter what a person says. If they're, and I'm not saying perfect, we're not perfect, but the lifestyle, if doesn't matter what a person says, what a person claims to be, if they are not entering this gate and following this path, they do not belong to Jesus. And later in one of those couplets, he's going to say, many will come to me on that day, and I'll say, I never knew you. And they'll go, wait a minute, we did all these great things. We even cast out demons, did miracles in your name. He said, I don't know you, because they're claiming to do things, but they're not on the narrow path. Luke chapter 14, 25 to 26. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, and this was Jesus' habit. You talk about being right side up compared to the upside down that world that we're in. Every time Jesus gathered great crowds, thousands of people would be following him, he would start saying the hard truths. It was almost like he wanted to drive them away. He didn't want to drive them away. He wanted them to be very clear that you can't follow me and just eat fishes and loaves and enjoy the miracles and claim to follow me. You have to go through the narrow gate and the hard path. And so every time he would get... Now, in our world today, we go, whoa, that guy must really be a man of God, because look at all the people that are following him. That's upside down, right? And so Jesus says to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's one of those scriptures you want to just go, I think I'll skip that one. What Jesus is saying in the kind of rhetoric that was used in the Mideastern era or culture was to, compared to loving me, everything else will be hate. You love me so much that the amount of love that you have for everyone else doesn't even seem like love. You still love them. He's not literally saying hate them. He's saying comparatively. You have to be willing to let them go. You have to be willing to, if they disagree, if they don't want it, you have to be willing to go halfway around the world if that's what I ask you to do, even if they don't want you to leave. So it's not hating our family. It's just that great comparison. That is a difficult path. Amen? But he says life is the destination, here and hereafter. the one advantage, and the only advantage that really means anything, is that by following Jesus, you get abundant life. That deep satisfaction. It's kind of like the joy we were talking about. In spite of any other circumstance, any other situation, you have this deep satisfaction that resonates deep in your soul. Soul deep contentment. It leads to life. Here, even though everyone abandons you, here and hereafter. And then finally he says, and few will find it. Few, and there are, and those who find it are few. It's a single file path of the minority because it is way, way hard. It's not a pleasure trip. It means saying no to things that you want to say yes to. It means enduring things that you may not want to endure. The Apostle Paul was at the epitome of his career as a religious leader. He had fame, fortune, popularity, success. He had everything the world could provide. But his soul was empty. And finally, Jesus got a hold of him, knocked him down on his face on the Damascus Road, and finally revealed the way that was hard. And for the rest of his life, there was no fame, there infamy among the majority of people because of all the... He was a part of the Pharisees, and now all the Pharisees hated him. He got beaten. He was shipwrecked like four times. He was stoned to death and came back to life once. I mean, it was just hard, hard, hard. And he said, I count it a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ. That's the narrow gate and the hard path. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Here's what I notice among affluent people, and that includes Christians, is when bad things happen, we go, oh, why is that happening to me? That shouldn't happen to me. I shouldn't be treated this way. I shouldn't have to put up with this. Here Peter says, don't be surprised. Here's what we need to say. Well, of course. Bad stuff happened? Well, of course it's going to happen. That's because we're living in spiritual warfare. You know, you send soldiers into battle and the enemy starts shooting at them. They don't look at each other and go, I can't believe they're shooting at us. Why are they shooting at us? We're just trying to do... And they don't do that. They go, well, of course, doc. Because they know what they're in. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're on this hard path, expect it. And so here's Peter. The Holy Spirit is saying the same thing. Don't be surprised as though something strange is happening, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Which brings us to number four. Everyone chooses. Everyone chooses. Everyone chooses. The path is so wide that it's the default. It's the path you were on before you came to Christ. If you're a Christ follower, that's where you were. That's where everybody starts. To get on the narrow road, you have to go 180 and find the narrow entrance and the hard path. But what I observe, and this is what really got me, is that what is the natural thing for human beings when things get hard? It's to try to alleviate the pain of that and find an easier way. And what we see in American Christianity is just exactly that. Last summer, we studied the name it, claim it, word of faith movement. You know, that God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and not sick, and all of that. And we say, that's the easier path. And I don't care what those people are saying. If they're not following the path of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But they're not the only ones. There's another thing that you might start hearing about called progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is basically this large conglomeration of a lot of different kind of philosophies, and it basically says, believe whatever you want, but still call yourself a Christian. Some of them take parts of the Bible and they believe it. Others don't even believe the Bible is really God's word. And yet they still claim to follow Christ. And you're hearing what you don't realize that's what it is, but you're hearing more and more of that. Why do we do that? Because we innately, by default, want it to be easier. Nobody wakes up with a horrible stomach virus saying, I hope this lasts a long time. Right? What do we want? Oh, God, please help me, save me, or take me home. I don't want to experience pain. So pain, the natural response to pain is to try to get out of it. On the narrow, going through the narrow gate and being on the hard path means we live with it. We sit with it. We accept it as the way of life. And that's what Jesus is saying. We can't choose to make it easier. We only choose to look to Jesus and say, what do you want? What is it that you want? He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So I put in your notes there that the wide is outward religious requirements of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. It's the outward path. And so it's just, you know, just go to church on Sunday, give a little bit, you know, and, you know, with the Catholics, make sure you take communion, you know, and just do whatever you want the rest of the time. That's the wide. And it's the same with Protestant churches. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying that's the just religious activity. It's about getting information. For those of us that claim to be, oh, we're more Bible-based, I see people who just study the Bible. They study the Bible. They get all this information. But they're just all about that information. Jesus is saying here, the narrow is about this internal relational teachings that transform us so that we're living it out. It's not just putting in your head, it's actually living it out so that, because remember, the narrow gate and the hard path is the golden rule. Well, how in the world do we put that into practice? By knowing more and more who God is, what he's about, and allowing the Word of God by the Spirit of God to transform us into the image of God so that we love God with all our hearts, we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the path. That's what it's all about. So following so I put there, the entrance to following Jesus is narrow, every other way is wide. The path or the road, the life is hard if you're following Jesus, easy if in any other form. The destination following Jesus is life, and only, it's the only way you get life. But every other way leads to destruction. And the numbers are few versus many. Living the golden rule and the great command is the hard path. So it was at this point in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has wrapped up, you know, a lot of his teachings, and he's coming down to the last half of chapter 7, and he's giving the hard teachings. This week we see the hard and narrow road. Next week we see the fruit. The following week we see the kind of relationship, whether you knew the, and then the last one is about what foundation are you building on. And it's as if Jesus is saying there's thousands of people on this during the Sermon on the Mount. They're watching, they're listening, and they need to know right up front. They are in base camp on Mount Everest, and they need to know this isn't the easy road. There will be joy, there will be provision, there's the presence of God. It's the best path you will ever travel, but it's the truth. And we're so familiar with this that I fear that those of us that have been Christians a long time will hear these words and not really embrace them. Because this is truth. There are people who claim to be following Christ who do not know him. They think they know him, and that's the saddest part of all. And so my challenge to us is to really, is just go to God and ask, God, am I on the right path? Because he'll tell you. He wants to tell you. If you're on the right path, he wants to affirm you, love you, care for you. But just be sure. If you ever read my journal, and you'll never read in my journal, but if you ever happen to see a page, it's quite likely one of the things you might see me write in my prayers to God is, God, am I on the right path? Am I hearing you clearly? Show me if anything that I'm saying or doing is wrong, is not of you. Because in humility, we all need to be at that place. We can never assume we got it right, because at that point, you got pride, and pride begins the downward spiral. Amen. So my challenge to you is just take time. God, is there any, just affirm that I really am on this path with you. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? And would you be willing, just in the quietness between you and God, just ask him, Lord, would you affirm that I truly do belong to you? And if I don't, lead me through that narrow gate of full surrender. Lord, I pray that you would give us your supernatural insight and understanding. We know that your word tells us the heart is deceitful above all things, and that it's so easy to lie to ourselves, convince ourselves of things. And so I pray that you would peel all of that away. For me, for all of these folks, God, that we can have full confidence in you, full surrender in you, listening to you, following you, and allowing you to do what you want to do. Reveal to us any place, anything that we need to surrender. Help us to hear you very clearly and obey. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I no longer say, just pray this simple prayer. But I do say, if you want to follow Jesus, it starts with a prayer of acceptance. It starts. That's the beginning. That's not the end.